We're both broadcasting this show today from home. Celeste is in her basement in Maryland. I'm in the closet here in Arizona. Sort of amazing when you think about it, actually. But 18 months or so into this pandemic, many companies are calling out to their employees that it's time to come back to the office. What if you want to stay remote? Our next guest says you should have that choice. In fact, she says it should be a permanent employee benefit. Michelle Singletary is a personal finance columnist for the Washington Post and the author of the book, What to Do with Your Money When Crisis Hits. Michelle, always good to speak with you. Welcome back.
Thank you so much for having me.
We're glad to have you. And so, you know, make your case. Why should remote work be a permanent perk?
Well, we saw during the time that many offices shut down because of COVID that productivity did not wane. And that was one of the biggest concerns from managers, that when you let people work from home, they won't work as hard, they'll be distracted. And so We now know that people, not only are they able to work at home, that productivity actually went up. And then the higher levels of happiness with your employees went up as well, because they didn't have all that stress of commuting.
I wonder if companies are getting that message, though, because over the past 18 months, this conversation about remote work has kind of evolved. We're now at the point when a lot of companies are ready to bring workers back into the office at least a few days a week. Many are already doing that. Do you get the sense that employers are actually over it, though?
I think many are. And those who are progressive and going to be competitive will not be over it. And, you know, oftentimes the argument is that you can work at home or come into the office, as if there is no middle ground. Really, what I was writing about in my column in the Washington Post was that a hybrid model where those who want to come into the office can, those who say, this is not working for me and my work-life balance, I'd like to work from home full-time. And then another group of people are saying, you know, I like working at home, but I also want to be in the office. And so that's where the sweet spot is. If companies will listen to their employee base and come up with a model that is good for everybody.
Do you see models out there that are working?
It's hard to say whether it's going to work long time because everything sort of shifted with COVID. I think LinkedIn has a great model. They said to their employee base, 16,000 employees globally, they said, listen, you tell us what works for you and let's work this out now. There are going to be some employees who you just can't work at home. But absent of those groups of subset of employees, they're saying, you know what works best for you. You're going to be a happier, more productive employee if you work the way you want to work. And I think that is the model, the hybrid model that is for the future. Now, I wrote this column and people were giving me all this pushback. You know, what about creativity? And, you know, you can't bump into your colleague and talk to them. And, you know, it's not your, you know, employees shouldn't be telling employers what they should be doing. I mean, listen, that's
I can tell you disagree with that.
Of course. It's like the horse and buggy. Remember when, you know, people were like, we don't want those moving cars, you know? And those who stuck with the horse and buggy, guess what? They got left behind. One thing that COVID told all of us, I don't even know why I'm getting emotional. One thing that COVID showed us was that, hey, life can be snapped out in a moment. I don't want my life to just be about my work. I want to be there for my kids. I mean, one of the reasons why I started working from home is I got tired of my child saying, Mommy, why am I the last one being picked up from daycare? And that broke my heart. We have this sort of 9 to 5, you've got to be in the office and work these hours. But there's all kinds of times that you can do your work after you put them to bed. That's what people are saying. I want to have a work-balanced life. Because at the end of your life, your manager, your coworkers, all those people that you're striving to be there and in their face, they're not going to be by your bedside. They're not going to take care of you when you need long-term care. It's those people you left at home that you put second to your job.
I hear you, and I hear that, and I think you're right. The pandemic has changed so much. I mean, we can't talk about our jobs without talking about our families and the things that are important to us. And so even though I hear that, I also want to be realistic about this because, you know, I've seen surveys out there from the Society of Human Resources Management, so take the source with a grain of salt. More than 2/3 of companies say it's going to be easier to replace a remote employee, and 62% say working from home hurts career advancement. So what are the potential pitfalls of working from home and getting all these things that you just talked about while everyone else is going back to the office or starting to think about going back to the office?
And think about that statistic about them saying it's going to hurt careers. And who's hurting the careers? Is it the actual working from home, or is it the managers who don't want to recognize that if you work from home, you're just as productive as the person that they see in their face? Mm-hmm. It is up to managers to find a system where there is equality, whether you see people in your face or they're working from home.
You know, I haven't seen my coworkers in person in 17 months. I moved across the country after the pandemic. I'm not going back into the office. And I think reaching this point, it's starting to hit home. I know you have been working remotely for many, many years, longer than many of us now. What do we need to know? What have you learned that we haven't yet?
You know, it's so funny. I ended up working from home because of some health issues, and also all my children have various health issues. They all had asthma, and my son is on the autism scale, so I often had to rush to school to help with issues with him. I was very worried about not having that FaceTime. And when I did go into the office, people go, "Oh, so you work from home?" And that question wasn't sort of like, "Good for you." It's sort of like, "You get to work from home," as if somehow I wasn't pulling my weight. And one thing is that I had to not worry about what people were thinking about me and the fact that I was working from home and whether or not I wasn't productive. I showed them that I was productive. I work my fanny off. I give my employer 150%, but I give my family 200%. And I know that doesn't add up, but what I'm trying to say is that I realized I needed to work. I need to make money. I want to make sure that my employer is getting every hour and minute that I owe them, but it's not in a straight line. It's not a 9-to-5 straight line, but I do not shortchange them. And I think if you want to work remotely, that's the key. And then you just work it out with your supervisor. I had some interns work for me, a single mom. And I said, "Listen, I don't care when you work. If you got to go get your kid and take her to a doctor's appointment, I don't care. As long as you get the things that I need from you when I need them on time, girl, do your family."
Michelle Singletary, working her fanny off as a personal finance columnist for the Washington Post and for her family. Thank you so much for your insights here. We appreciate it.
You're welcome.